This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. Greg Bowser is our leadoff guest, the president of the Louisiana Chemical Association in his third year, former LSU football stalwart. He was the anchor of the defensive line, a four-year letterman, native of Baldwin, and he's here to talk about ITEP, but we want to talk with him a little about football. We haven't visited with you since the Saints went down for the count in the most controversial way. And you were one of the few people who said, hey, wait a minute, don't blame the referees. Why not?
Well, you know, in football or any sport, all you can ever do is hope that you have your destiny in your own hands. You can determine your own destiny, and the Saints had that. I mean, you look at after the bad call or the no call, the Saints kicked a field goal to go ahead. So all you have to do defensively is stop the other team. Well, we couldn't do that. So the Rams go down and score the tying field goal. And then in overtime, the Saints get the ball first. So if you go down and score a touchdown, the ball game's over. Right. You didn't do that. So I think, you know, it was a bad no call, but I don't think it determined the game. I really think the Saints had a chance to do it, and they didn't. When you look at the game statistically, they didn't really do what they needed to do.
Do you find that players like you, people who have walked the walk, look at the game a bit differently than fans do, who are in many cases frustrated jocks?
I think so. I think you really, when you go back and look at the film, and I'm sure though that the players have had a chance to do that, you will start to hear them start to calm down a little bit and start to talk a little bit more about some of the things they did not do during the game. And you saw that with Drew Brees when he was talking, being interviewed at the Super Bowl. He talked about some of the things they didn't do early in the game to win. And so, because when you look at that game statistically, the Rams got better as the game went along. I mean, for example, you know, the Saints averaged about 2.5 yards per rush in the second half. They pretty much shut them down running the game. And then you and I talked before, you look at Drew Brees and how many passes he completed in the second half and where they were and the distance. You could tell that they took control of the game, and the Saints didn't do what they had to do.
Well, Brees has had a great career, and he apparently wants to play a long time, but at some point a tough decision will have to be made. Do you think that decision's coming soon?
I think it is. I think the decision for the 2019 season is going to be difficult, but I think the Saints have no choice. They're going to Drew Brees will be there. The question is they have to get the next quarterback on the roster because mm-hmm. – what makes Drew Brees so good is that he has been in this system for a very long time, and he's learned it. He and Sean Payton are on the same page. I mean, it's one of those things that has developed. So you've got to get the future quarterback on the roster so you can start to take some snaps and be around Drew Brees. 2020 season is going to be a very difficult season for the Saints front office because they will have to make some decisions. How much do you pay Drew Brees? What do you do? How do you keep some of these rookies? You look at Kamara. His contract is probably going to be coming up. What do you do at that point?
But in his range of 10, 15, 20-yard passes, he's still as good as they come. He can't do much beyond that. But in that range, there are a few people who are better now or ever were better than he was in his prime.
Yeah, there's no question about that. The problem is that, what happens is once a defense sees where your limitations are, they will start to do things to prevent you from doing what you do best. We saw that with the Cowboys when they played the Saints. What they did was they sat on the short routes and they pressured Drew Brees up the middle, which gave him some problems. When you go back to the second half of the Rams game, the Rams did the same thing. That created problems for him. And so I think those are the kinds of things that start to happen to you because, you know, when in professional football, when they scout you and they figure out what you're doing, the question becomes, do you have the personnel to do what it takes to stop them? And everybody knows what it takes to stop you, what the adjustments to make, but if you run into a team that's got the personnel to do it, they'll stop you.
I admired what Tony Romo did. He walked away, presumably with some time left. I think he could have been an effective quarterback, but he decided to go to the broadcast booth. But very few athletes want to give up the ghost.
Yeah, I've talked to a number of my friends who played in the NFL, and I remember talking to one who shall remain nameless. He was in year 13, and I said, man, year 13, I mean, you've got enough money. What are you doing? And finally he looked at me and he said, listen, you know, I'm going to make $4.5 million this year. With a job like that, you got to run me off. I'm not just quitting. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of it. The other part is I think they really it's when you think about a person that's been there that long, football has been such a part of their life. It's very difficult to imagine not doing it. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing that gets you. How do you not do it? You got to fill that gap.
Well, Greg played the game and played it very well and has many of his colleagues who played at the highest levels. And now he's in what amounts to a political job, and he hasn't run for office yet. But we often cover political races the same way we cover athletic events, don't we?
We do. And, you know, it's very competitive. I mean, it really one of the things that I've learned in this role is that you have to fight very, very hard not to let yourself get caught into that competitiveness that you saw, that you did when you were an athlete.
877-217-5757 is your number, and talk@talklouisiana.org is our email address, if you'd like to do it that way. For Greg Bowser, president of the Louisiana Chemical Association, he worked hand in glove for many years with Dan Bornay, and then 3 years ago he was given the keys to the kingdom. Still in one American place?
Still in one American place, and, you know, we're doing some good things. I think Dan Bornay left us in really good shape, and we've got a tremendous staff that helps to guide me around and kind of keep me on the straight and narrow. And I think that's important in any organization. It's the guy at the top's only as good as the people that are around him.
And you represent over 60 companies.
We have 65 chemical companies that operate over 100 locations throughout the state of Louisiana, and employ over almost 30,000 people in direct jobs, yes.
Before we get to the intricacies of the Exxon ITIP situation, how does that affect chemical plants? Is that a good thing, the way it's configured now, as opposed to how it was until very recently?
I believe that the way it was structured before was probably better for Louisiana. And here's why. It gave Louisiana a distinct advantage in that you had one place for companies to go. You went to the state, and you negotiated with the state, one entity, and then the state reached out to the local governing authorities to get their input, the local taxing authorities, to get their input as to what was happening. When you go to other states and you have to go to 10, 15, in Louisiana's case, it could be 64 different taxing authorities, just in order to figure out what Louisiana's position is going to be. That makes it more difficult. And Jim, I really believe that people talk about being competitive with Texas. If we have the same things here that they have in Texas, we're going to lose. If we're even with Texas, we're going to lose just on scale. You know, there are more people in Houston than there is in the state of Louisiana.
More people in Dallas, too.
Yeah.
But we have a refinery that's one of the largest in the world, and an infrastructure that is immense, and apparently one that works for ExxonMobil. Why in the world would they even think about going over a tax incentive that was less than $1 million? We're talking about a company that just reported profits of over $6 billion for the quarter. What's $1 million here or there?
Well, it starts to add up, and I think when you do a project, when a company does a project, you look at the long cost, you look at what it's going to cost you as compared to other places when you make those kinds of investments. When you're the largest taxpayer in the parish and you get the kind of grief that they got, and you stop and wonder, what are we doing? I mean, why is this a place we want to be long-term? Because let's remember, these investments are long-term, and so you have to look at it that way. You can't just pick up and move them. And so you have to understand the tax code, and you try to make sure that you're competitive, because you're not only competing with other companies, you're competing within your own company. So Exxon doesn't lose anything if that facility, that expansion, for example, if it's located in Baton Rouge or Beaumont, it's still the same to ExxonMobil. So you have to look at the numbers and make sure the numbers make you work, because you have stockholders that are looking at what you're doing and are you doing the right things.
Now, listener Tom on Bluebonnet asks, if this incentive that Exxon was denied, was it for a new project or was it for existing projects?
It was for a new project, and the one that they did, the way it was structured, the difference there was ExxonMobil was going to apply for the exemption. And if you remember, the rules were being rewritten, and they were advised, well, let's wait till the rules are finished, then apply, and let's see what happens, because then it will become more clear. But Exxon had to move forward with the project, so they said, okay, we'll move forward, and then we'll just apply when the rules are finalized. Mm-hmm. And that was the difference. It was a new project, and that's why they did it that way.
All right. This was, I think, involving the plant expansion that was announced last September. Would have brought 600 construction jobs, 40 full-time jobs. But is that one off the board now, or is it going forward even without the tax?
I think they're still wrestling with that. I think that's something that ExxonMobil is still trying to make a final determination on, and hopefully they'll have a decision shortly. And we hope that it's still here in Baton Rouge, because I think it means a lot, not only in terms of new jobs and construction jobs. It gives you a chance to attract more capital to the region.
Phil on Jefferson, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana, Phil.
Good morning, gentlemen. I kind of think it's way past time for Louisiana to be in control of these giveaways, basically, to corporations. A lot of companies come in and get these exemptions and then don't do what they promised to do.
Is that a problem?
It's not a problem, because I think what happens is, in most contracts, they're what they call clawback provisions. You've got to make certain investments. You've got to do certain things, because if you don't, then the state has a right to reach back and say, hey, you owe us the money back.
877-217-5757 is your number. Talk@talklouisiana.org is our email, and we will return with Greg Bowser, president of the Louisiana Chemical Association. We're talking about the merits of ITEP on Talk Louisiana. Thank you for listening to WRKF. This is Talk Louisiana, and our guest for another segment is Greg Bowser, president of the Louisiana Chemical Association. Your number again is 877-217-5757. Last week, the president of the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry, Stephen Wagusback, made an appearance before the Baton Rouge Press Club. He's pushing for changes to the state's industrial tax exemption program in an effort to make it easier on companies seeking tax breaks. The program, which has included a decades-old property tax exemption for manufacturers, has for months remained at the center of a debate over tax breaks, economic development, and funding for local service like schools. Sam Carlin had a nice piece about this in last Tuesday's Advocate. And we're going to have a legislative move, no doubt, Greg Bowser, but is this dead on arrival?
I don't think so. I think we've heard from several legislators that understand what's going on. This is an incentive program. This is something that helps Louisiana be competitive with other states. There are 38 other states that have similar programs, and so there's a reason for that. They all use it to attract business. And, when you look at what it means to attract a chemical facility such as an ExxonMobil or others, those parishes tend to do better than other parishes on sales tax collection, even on property tax payments, what they receive, and employment. And so I think the return on investment is pretty clear.
Well, last week, Jay Darden, the Commissioner of Administration, was on this program, and he indicated he personally thought the Exxon request was legitimate and should have been granted. But a local authority included consent from the school board. The vote was close, 5-4, and sometimes you don't get what you want, as we know. Mm-hmm. So what can be done short of just putting it back in its original form to tweak this?
I think you have to do a couple of things. One is that you've got to make it simpler and easier for people to know, for people to apply. And you've got to add some certainty into it. And I had a chance to visit with Stephen Wagersback, my friend at LABI, and he's talking about a single point of contact in each parish. I think that I'd like to see the state take it back at the state level and create some input from the locals to the Commerce and Industry Board, so that you give Louisiana back what I think was his biggest advantage, is that you do have one-stop shop, and you can go and negotiate with a department that has the expertise to do a return on investment. Many local governments don't have that expertise, and so you end up with all kinds of different requirements. For example, you have one parish that said you got to employ 30% of the people have to live in that parish, and you have to put it in a deprived zone. Well, mm-hmm. That's very difficult to achieve sometimes.
What about Together Baton Rouge? Do you have quarrel with them at all?
Well, my quarrel with Together Baton Rouge is that you got to stick to the facts. And I think when you look at what they've done, they've taken the opportunity to try to put a wedge within the community and say, ExxonMobil's a bad guy, when they're really not. For example, when those plant people up at in the Zachary area, Georgia mm-hmm. Pacific and BASF were laid off, all of the plants came together. They were trying to help people find other jobs. I didn't see Together Baton Rouge anywhere in there. So those are the kinds of things that I think that Together Baton Rouge pushes to try to further their agenda, which is basically to stop industrial development.
877-217-5757 is your number in our remaining moments with Greg Bowser. And we should note that ExxonMobil is an underwriter of WRKF. Ricky Causey, I think he's got part of your background a little off. He says, why should we expect a spokesperson for the chemical industry and a graduate of private Catholic high schools in New Orleans to care about public schools in Baton Rouge?
I'm a graduate of the public high school, and St. Mary Parish, went to Franklin High School. And, you know, I think that the public schools ought to be funded. I think that everybody agrees with education being funded. And you look at the money that goes into education in Louisiana. I'm not so sure it's a funding problem. You know, I mean, I look at St. Charles Parish, which has more industrial mm-hmm. property under the exemption than Baton Rouge. And look at Ascension. Look how well those schools are being funded. What's the difference?
Jennifer in Mid-City. Good morning, Jennifer. You're on Talk Louisiana with Greg Bowser. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I have been listening, and there are just several things that I wanted to comment on. One is that you mentioned about long-term, you know, looking at the long-term. Mm-hmm. These ITEP exemptions have been going on for 80 years, and Baton Rouge is not, and the whole state really is at the bottom of every list. So looking long-term for the state seems like that's the job of our, you know, our Metro Council, our school boards, and whatever. My other thought on that is, you know, when ITEP was solely under one state entity, it gave away 98% of the ITEPs. So that's not necessarily, you know, that's easy money for industry. That's not necessarily looking at what is really best for the individual locales.
Well, I'll address that. First of all, the last point about gave away 98% of it. I think when you look at the Department of Economic Development, what they did was they had the staff that they would go through the process and look through the applications. They would reject them before they even got the CNI board. Basically, what they did was they had a criteria set up. If you didn't meet the criteria, you never got to the CNI board. And so everybody that met the criteria, then you were gonna get sent to the CNI board. That's why you didn't see many rejections there, because they met the criteria. The other thing is, you talk about long-term and the problems of the state. I'm not sure that, you know, and this is where I really fault many folks, is that you can't blame the ITEP for the problems in this state. I mean, you can't blame ITEP for not funding roads and not funding education, because take a look at the parishes that have the most ITEP industrial exempt property. They're our richest parishes. The schools are doing fine. The roads are doing fine. You have East Baton Rouge has an issue, and I'm not sure it's the ITEP that's the problem. So to blame ITEP on all the woes of the state, I think is the wrong thing to do.
877-217-5757. Dan downtown. Dan, you're on the air with Greg Bowser.
Hey, Mr. Bowser, with all of your emphasis on competition, would you not agree that one way for consumers to compete with big oil, with all of its paid lobbyists, is for local government entities to have some say-so in the tax funding of public services?
Well, I think they do have some say-so in the tax funding for public services. You know, when you look at, for example, what happens at the CNI board, they're appointed by the governor, who gets to make those decisions, who represents the people. I think that there is representation there. And, you know, some people don't think so, and I'm sorry they don't, but there is.
Do you think this will be an election year issue, where the election, by the way, folks, is 8 months from tomorrow? It's getting close.
Jim, I think everything's going to be an election day issue. I really do. But this one's going to be because it depends on Louisiana being competitive. I mean, you take a look at the number of ITEP applications that have, as compared to 3 years ago, I mean, it's off tremendously. I mean, you have people that are not filing for it. We have to be competitive. One of the things that we have to understand is that there's a whole industry that's grown up around ITEP with respect to investments. You look at the industrial services industry. I mean, we have huge companies that have been homegrown. that have grown up around it by having contractors do work in those plants.
Greg Bowser is with us, and we'll go into the next segment with him, 877-217-5757. The story about ExxonMobil in Baton Rouge has generated some national attention. In last Tuesday's New York Times, the top story in the business section reads, "Daring to Say No to Big Oil. A Louisiana school board rejected ExxonMobil's request for tax breaks, setting off a battle between business leaders and communities frustrated by poverty and short on revenue." And obviously that area around ExxonMobil has not prospered. Is Exxon to blame for that?
I don't think so. Exxon can pay its taxes. They don't decide where the taxes are distributed to. I think that's the school board, that's the city council to decide whether or not they do things to bring economic development to a certain area. Take a look at what's going on in some of the downtown area. I remember when we got ready to revitalize downtown, everybody was concerned. What did the city parish do? We set up taxing districts that made it favorable for people to invest.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. We'll return in a few minutes with Greg Bowser. Now the news with Karen Henderson on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. Matt Doyle producing, and Greg Bowser is with us for a few more minutes. President of the Louisiana Chemical Association. He played football at LSU as a four-year letterman, graduated in 1983. And Greg Bowser came from Franklin, the town that produced Grambling Great and pro football stalwart Ernie the Big Cat Ladd, who was on this show many times before passing away, I think in 2007. He's been gone a while, died with colon cancer, but what a character he was.
He was unbelievable. Big Ernie, I mean, he was something, man. I remember playing a golf tournament, a charity golf tournament with him. And, you know, we were homeboys and we got to talking. And after about two holes, I just stood there and said, boy, he couldn't figure out what in the golf club to hit. But he was doing his part. He was giving back. And that was Ernie Ladd.
6'9 and 325 when he played.
He just didn't make golf clubs for those guys.
No, but he had some classic matches with Andre the Giant. Did you ever think about going into pro wrestling?
No,
Greg
I
Bowser?
Never did. I never did. No.
I think you made a wise choice. He's done very, very well. And he's here talking about the ITEP program. And Greg believes that we should go back to something pretty close to what we had. It was tweaked in 2016, I think, by Governor John Bel Edwards after many people said that it was unfair. Now, what about the local guy who pays a lot of money, local business person, small business owner in taxes, and then sees these big giants get tax breaks? That's part of the issue.
Well, I think what you have to understand is the reason the industrial tax exemption exists is because there was an understanding that when you to attract these huge amounts of capital, simply by making that huge capital investment, that it would benefit the entire community. And so you think about those small business people, how much are they impacted and how much do they benefit from the fact that these people have high-paying jobs, both permanent and construction jobs, and they spend money out in the community. So when you look at it, that's the return on investment that you have to look at. And the one thing that I think needs to be made clear is that if a facility is looking at locating in a certain place or expanding, if you vote them down and they don't locate there, you don't get the tax dollars. It's that simple. I mean, and this is not tax money that's currently coming into the coffers of the local government. They're not getting tax money off of that anyway. So it would be new tax dollars. And this is a deferment of taxes to allow you to get the thing up and running, to do the investment, to make sure that it's working out. And so after 5 or 10 years, it goes on the tax rolls. And I might add, it goes on at 15%, not 10%, as residential does. So all of that plays into the decision-making, I think, or it should anyway.
Stephen Dixon writes, why would LSU football fans, what would LSU football fans do if the team was in last place in the country? That's what's happening to Louisiana as a state in education, health, and poverty. Louisiana has been giving away tax money to these big companies like no other state. It's not even close. Yes, the ITEP giveaways have held us in last place, he writes. It was time to fire the coach statewide. ITEP, let's see if we can do better with a new coach, the new ITEP system of local control. I'm sure you're not, that's not the first time you've heard that argument.
No, it's not. And I think that it's a matter of, you know, things are bad, let's blame ITEP. I think you have to look at statistics and see what they tell you. You have to go to places that have a lot of ITEP industrial exempt property and see how they're doing. I think you have to, if you look at the 12 richest parishes in the state, they're also the 12 parishes that have the most ITEP exemption. There's a correlation there, and I think people need to look at that. You start looking around at some of the rural parishes that don't have that, for example, that don't have industrial development. What are they doing financially? How are they doing? Better or worse than the ones who do?
Daryl Hunt writes, the general problem of economic development in Louisiana and most other states is the near single-minded focus on jobs. Of course, without a job, one doesn't have much quality of life. Nevertheless, quality of life involves much, much more than just having a job. A more holistic approach to economic development incentives could do a great deal to improve our overall quality of life. Your thoughts?
Well, I think we have to, I think we, on that point, we do have to look at what's happening in our entire lives in terms of education, in terms of health care, in terms of some other things. But to say that ITEP is the reason for all of the ills that trouble this state, I think is wrong. I don't think that that's correct. And I don't think we solve it that way, Jim. I really don't. I think we have to look at the whole picture of what we do in Louisiana, our whole tax structure. Let me give you an example. People talk about competitiveness. They like to compare us to Texas. I saw a quote where someone said, well, Texas does it this way. Texas doesn't have an income tax, personal or corporate income tax. Texas doesn't tax electricity that these facilities use. So Texas has a bunch of things that we don't have. And so we have to have something that gives us some kind of, puts us in the game. You know, you talked about your football example. You know, if you had the best quarterback in there and you had nobody to throw to, what good is that? If Drew Brees doesn't have anybody to throw the football to, it doesn't help him out a lot. If he doesn't have a running back on offensive line, it doesn't help him out a lot. So you have to do some things to make you competitive. And I think the ITEP helps the state. It's one tool that helps the state be competitive.
All right. Maggie Canero writes, in September of 2018, the school board approved an application for the polymer plant that was a new project. The most recent applications, writes Maggie, that were withdrawn or defeated were not new projects, and they were already completed. That's her perception.
It is, and I explained earlier what that was. It was completed because of the way the rules were being drafted. It was a quirk in time that rarely ever happens because the rules were being redrafted. So that was a new project as well.
Paul in Opelousas. Good morning, Paul. You're on Talk Louisiana with Greg Bowser. Hi, Paul.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm from Opelousas, and like I said, we're looking at somewhat of the same thing, but with property, where a private investor would pay the taxes or delinquent fees on the property. If the property goes into get on the tax rolls and it's sold or rented or generates some income, the city would return that fee. Would the ITEP be adjusted? Could it be adjusted? Whether the entity would invest first, you put it on market, you generate the jobs you say you're going to generate, then you get it back, and you can build that into your business plan. Just an idea. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Paul.
Well, I think, Paul, what you're talking about is more of a rebate program as opposed to being something that's not taxed and paying as you go. Remember, these are large investments, and I think – but most states, you have to do that up front and say, hey, this is so that you can plan and say, hey, this is where it's going to be. I don't know about you, Paul, on a personal note. You know, it's always difficult to get your money back from government than to never have paid it to them in the first place because they really don't. That's not something they do real well.
Thank you, Paul. 877-217-5757 is your number. And Greg Bowser, I suspect a lot of people didn't anticipate this kind of pushback. Even the mayor, certainly a good Democrat, Sharon Weston Broome, someone who might not have been thought to be supportive of big industry, but there she was leading the cheers for ExxonMobil. What did you think?
I thought it was good. I thought it was something that I would have liked to have seen from the mayor and from other leaders in our community early on. You know, when you have a really good corporate citizen that does everything right, is your number one employer, your number one property taxpayer in the state, in your parish, and they're getting beat up on and challenged personally, going after the company itself. This was something that really it was an effort to demonize the company, And that's what I think Together Baton Rouge tried to do, was demonize ExxonMobil as a company itself and not talk necessarily about the thing that was the tax proposal that was there. And I think that's unfortunate. And I'm proud of the mayor. I'm proud of the other folks who came out and said, hey, wait a minute. This is a good corporate citizen. These people do what they're supposed to do. This is wrong. And they should be applauded for that.
Connie Castillo writes, ITIP should be scrutinized. If our legislators attack the meager film industry tax, surely ITIP deserves a closer look.
Look, I think every exemption or credit or anything that the state does should be scrutinized, should be looked at. All I'm saying is that what you cannot do is put it in a position to where it takes away the state's competitiveness. I'm a big one for accountability. I think you lay out the rules. Here are the rules. Here's what you must do. Here's how you do to get it. Right now, today, Jim, you can't go to a company and say, if you come to Louisiana, you're going to have ITEP. You're going to get an 80% ITEP if you do these things, because we don't know what those things are anymore.
It is interesting that I asked ExxonMobil to appear, and they said, we want Greg Bowser to appear. You're not an ExxonMobil guy.
ExxonMobil is one of our members, and we represent them as we do the other 65 companies in 100 different locations. And this is and I can understand what the company's position is. You do what you're supposed to do, and all of a sudden you get not just questioned or about your investment, but actually get, ridiculed for even asking for an exemption. That's just unheard of. We just can't continue to treat business people that way. We can't continue to say, someone wants to invest in our community and we're gonna treat them like mm-hmm. they're just like they're coming to beat us up. I think that's wrong.
Well, Greg Bowser, always good to visit with you. Let's keep it going. And Sophie Hanna's agreed to step aside again, and we appreciate her consideration. We'll talk with her about how to hold a grudge. Speaking of being topical, we'll speak with Sophie about this very soon on this program. And it was 7 years ago today, Greg Bowser, that Whitney Houston died at the Beverly Hilton in Los Angeles. What a talent.
I tell you, Jim, that's why I enjoy listening to you. You have all kinds of important facts and stats that nobody else would have.
She was an amazing performer, and unfortunately gone too soon. It's hard to believe it's been 7 years.
It is hard to believe
it's been seven years. Last night we had the Grammys. Did you watch?
No, I didn't.
I didn't either.
I didn't watch.
Was,
I heard about them.
I heard it was quite a performance.
You know, the
a lot of ladies front and center.
It was a ladies' night from what all the reviews I've read early this morning. I think former First Lady Michelle Obama appeared. Lady Gaga won. And then you had, of course, one of my favorites, Alicia Keys, hosting. And I think she's a very talented young lady.
Yeah, she is. And still young. She's been at it for about half her life. I think she's 38, and she's been a star for half of her life.
Unbelievable. The most amazing thing is I saw the clips of it this morning on early news. She played two pianos at the same time and also sung. Now, that's a talent.
That's pretty good. Pretty good. She plays the piano and sings a little better than Ernie Ladd played golf, right? Thank you,
no
Greg
question.
Bowser.